You're listening to the Wally Show podcast. You can hear the live version every weekday morning through the Way FM app or following along with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Uplifting Way FM. That, of course, is Michael W. Smith and his song "Sky Spills Over." And we had him on recently to talk about his new book, "The Way of the Father." And you can see the whole interview at wayfm.com. And the book is about God, our Heavenly Father, but also about Michael's father. And I asked him, you know, what was the biggest thing that he learned from his dad?
Kindness. Kind to everybody. I found myself doing mannerisms like my dad. Like, my dad waved at everybody. And if he didn't know their name, he said, "Hey, old buddy."
Really?
Yeah, he just waved at everybody.
You're that guy in the neighborhood that's always waving at people?
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's Crazy Schmitty. He's waving at people.
He was that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just took time for people. He worked in the homeless ministry. He was a deacon.
Wow.
He served his community. He just gave. But the kindness thing, I think, probably I learned from him more than anything.
As we had that discussion, I learned that I remembered that I run like my dad, and I demonstrated it. You can see the video at wayfm.com, and it's not pretty, actually. It's not the most graceful run. So in the Bible, we are taught that God is our Heavenly Father. And so I was asking, like, what do you do or how do you reconcile that if you had a bad dad or a bad parent? How do you actually get past that?
I mean, I talk about in the book, my mom was abandoned when she was 8 years old. And my real grandmother said, "Get out of the car. You're walking home. It's only a block away." She wasn't a good mom. She literally drove off and never came back.
Really?
Never. And I remember we talked about that whole situation. And I remember her telling me, just going, "I was determined when I was going to marry your dad," they were high school sweethearts.
Oh, that's nice.
That would never happen to our children, you know?
Right.
And the crazy thing is, I don't talk about this in the book, but I met my real grandmother one time. And my mom saw her one time, too.
Really?
At my Aunt Pat's funeral.
How old were you?
I was 20 years old.
Okay, so you were old enough to know.
I wanted to give her a piece of my mind. I didn't.
Your dad taught you to be kind.
Exactly. There you go. But I watched my mom love on my grandma. That's the first time my mom had seen her since she left them at 8 years. And she just had chosen to forgive her. And that's why my mom is extraordinary. You know, just the power of forgiving someone who hurt you deeply. Pretty extraordinary.
And these are the things you would never really know about him, you know, his music and stuff. And so I love getting to sit down and have these kind of conversations. We talked for like 30 minutes. And so you can see the whole interview at wayfm.com. I got a little bit more about, like, I did high-low with him, like a professional high, professional low kind of thing. And he might surprise you when we did our dad jokes thing, kind of crushed it. And so we'll do that in 10 here on The Wally Show. Uplifting Way FM. Recently, we had Michael W. Smith on to talk about his new book, The Way of the Father. You can see the whole interview because we talked for like 30 minutes at wayfm.com. And one of the things I like to do when I have artists in is I do high-low with them, which is kind of a good and a bad moment in their lives. And so Michael is like this infectiously super positive person. So I was really curious what his take would be on for a professional low.
Professional low, this is going to sound
He's like,
great.
This interview.
I know. Hey, if it really was, I wouldn't say it. I'll never forget where I was. I was in a car heading to our place in Beaver Creek, Colorado, and Kentucky Rose had just released a radio, and some lady at a radio station in Florida, this is back in the day, sent a fax to every radio station and said, "There's a thorn in Kentucky Rose. Don't play it."
Oh, wow.
She said my song was New Age.
Oh, no, wasn't religious enough for her?
Well, because I just said at the very end, said, "And on that hill one flower grows, they say it is the spirit of Kentucky Rose."
Oh,
Kentucky
wow.
Rose was this farmer and preacher, and he gave his life for this kid drowning, you know, in a river. And it's you know, people still want to hear the song. And it was the least successful single of my career. Everybody pulled the song.
Really?
And I'll just never forget that, going, that's just the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life.
And since we were talking about, like, his new book, and it's called The Way of the Father, I thought it would be fun to do some dad jokes with him, you know, and see, do a version of our best worst joke game with him. And I have to be honest with you, I was surprised at how well he did. Again, you can see all of this at wayfm.com, but here's a little snippet of him delivering and crushing with a best worst dad joke.
Yeah. What kind of car does a sheep like to drive?
A I don't know.
A Lamborghini. So cool.
That is going to be hard to top his delivery.
Good. His delivery was great. A Lamborghini. And then he had a creative twist on that as well. So you're definitely going to want to see that at wayfm.com. And, you know, usually when I'm doing interviews, I'm trying to get information out of people. And this time I got information out of Michael W. Smith that made me sad. And we'll go through that in 10 here on The Wally Show. I can hear. Way FM. If you're a big Michael W. Smith fan, you might want to check out our whole interview with him at wayfm.com. He has a new book out called The Way of the Father. And as I was talking to him, I brought up the movie The Jesus Music coming out from the guys who did I Can Only Imagine. And it's a peek behind the curtain of Christian music and a bunch of its biggest artists and me. I'm supposed to be in it. So I bring this up to Michael because he is interviewed in it as well. But then I remembered something.
You and Amy help produce it too?
Executive producer.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
It's pretty raw, so you're going to see some real life in the film.
You're the executive producer. Have you seen the whole finished thing?
I've seen it many times.
Many times. Okay, good.
And we're still.
Speaking of. I didn't make it, did I? You guys cut me out, didn't you?
Well,
son of a gun.
Never too late.
Yeah, I got cut out. This is a horrible way to find out. I just got cut out of a really great movie.
You really don't know that. You don't know that for
sure. Oh, I pretty much know it by your reaction. Wally made the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I was very sad to find out that way, too. I would rather, like, Andy, the producer, just call me and said, hey, you didn't make the cut. But to find out like that just hurt. It just hurt. And Michael had no remorse. He tried to be kind, but he had no remorse.
You made the cutting room floor.
Yeah, that's nothing.
That's something.
No,
that's
nothing. You've just got nightmares of...
Yeah, he's making the scissor cuts.
Michael, no!
I will tell you this, though. The parts I've seen of it, the movie is fantastic. It's called The Jesus Music. I think it's going to be out in the fall. And with or without me, it's still a great movie. And honestly, truth be told, when I saw all the people that they got, all the major artists that they got from decades of music, I wasn't needed. Honestly, my perspective not needed. They
really?
Had way more of a story to tell without me.
It's very humbling of you to say.
Well, thank you very much. Huh. But yeah, it's a great movie. And also, too, a great book from Michael W. Smith. And you can see the whole interview and even link away to the book if you want to check it out at wayfm.com. I get people all the time that even though I work in radio, they're like, I've got this great idea for a book. Like, how do I get this thing published?
Yeah, and a great place to start is the Bachelor of Arts in Creative Writing from Colorado Christian. It'll help elevate your writing abilities and prepare you to submit your works confidently in a manner that has the best chance of publication.
And here's the best part for you. It's all done 100% online. And why would it not be? It's writing, and you can do that from the privacy of your own home in a bathrobe. That's how all good writers write. I don't know if you know that. Bathrobe and slippers. And it can help prepare you for a successful writing career.
CCU's Bachelor of Arts in Creative Writing gives you the opportunity to learn under the tutelage of world-renowned best-selling author Jerry B. Jenkins, who chairs the program and developed the curriculum.
All right, so if you've ever wanted to write a book or you've been working on one for a long time, the Jerry B. Jenkins Creative Writing Program at CCU Online will give you a chance to succeed in the ministry or in the marketplace.
So find out more about Colorado Christian University and the brand new Bachelor of Arts in Creative Writing at CCU.edu. That's CCU.edu.
It's not news. Think of it more as news-ish. It's The Wally Show.
Back in January of this year, the sandwich restaurant chain Subway started getting some heat on the tuna that they served to their customers. I don't know if you remember all of that.
I do because it's one of the only sandwiches I eat there. I eat the steak and cheese or I eat the tuna. That's it.
Well, after a lawsuit was filed by two angry customers claiming the product was, quote, made from anything but tuna, Inside Edition got involved and ran a test based off samples acquired from the restaurant. Well, that study confirmed the product had the, quote, presence of tuna.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for. Okay. Yeah, presence is good.
But in more recent news, a lab test commissioned by the New York Times had even more alarming results. The report claimed that researchers were unable to even pinpoint a species.
That's not what you want to hear. No, because I've eaten a lot of those tuna sandwiches.
A lab spokesperson told the Times that the results claim one of two things.
Okay.
So either it's just too...
I'm not sure I want to hear this.
Either it's too heavily processed, okay, like the samples that they were getting just had too much whatever... Or it's just not tuna, and it's something completely different. But what is it?
I'm going to lean into it's probably not tuna, because, I mean, it definitely has, like, a texture of fish and tuna.
But it tastes like it? It smells like it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they've done a good job with however they've faked it. It's pretty good.
Doesn't that concern you?
Yeah, it does, actually. Yeah, it does now.
You don't even know what you're eating.
No clue.
But it ain't tuna.
I mean, it's not going to stop me, but no. I mean, it does. I will think about it every time I have a bite, though.
I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it.
Uplifting Way FM. Sometimes relationships go south, but they don't have to be contentious afterwards. And this is a great story of that, or maybe a reminder or an example for all of us how to navigate some of our post-relationships. There was this guy and this lady, and they got married. And the week after they got married, because he had been divorced, she donated a kidney to her new husband's ex-wife.
Oh.
What?
That is something you just don't hear, because you think, I mean, sadly, in this world, the exes don't get along. They don't even want to be in the same room together, things
and
like that.
That's kind of the stereotype, and it's kind of, I mean, it's based in a lot of truth for a lot of different people. But this lady went above and beyond. She said she's a person, she needed a kidney, and I have one. I was healthy enough to give her one. She's also the mother of my guy's kids. And, you know, it's so, like, she had a really good, healthy perspective. It is funny. I think she's joking. she said, and this will keep her from getting too much into our business, because I will always have this over her.
A Trump
card.
She
really said that?
I think she was kidding. Oh, wait, maybe I wrote that. I don't know. I'm not sure. So I think I wrote that.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Okay.
So here's the thing, though. I'm curious about this. And you might give somebody hope today that's walking through a really nasty breakup, and maybe some advice on how to navigate this successfully for your kids, especially if they're involved, you know. So do you have a positive relationship with your ex, and how did you get to that place? It's probably not easy. What's your strategy?
Yeah, it takes a lot of growth. It takes a lot of humility, putting pride aside and putting others' needs in front of yours. And that's a big thing.
That is hard. So maybe your thoughts on this might help somebody else, because you know how painful it can be. But it doesn't have to be the narrative, or it doesn't have to, you don't have to live into the stereotype either, mm-hmm, if you make choices. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. I'd love to get your perspective on this right now. How did you manage yours in a healthy way?
Well, as a matter of fact, I remarried him.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, well, what led to the problems in the divorce, and then what led to the reconciliation?
The problems in the divorce were we just didn't bring out the best in each other. We just grew apart and tried and tried and tried. It didn't work. We were so unhappy. We got divorced and stayed friends. We, sort of, each of us went to counseling, did our own thing, kept close with our kids because we said our kids wouldn't suffer because we were stupid. And so, long story short, we reconnected on a friend level and just started hanging out after a few years, and we've been married 14 years since.
Oh my goodness, well, that is a very atypical story, but I think it could give somebody a little bit of hope, because you guys, I mean, it was done, Splitsville, and then I think you said something, you reconnected as friends, so you remembered why it was that you liked each other in the first place, and you did some counseling, you did some work on your own and yourselves to kind of get things figured out. I think that's really smart.
Yeah, it worked out well. It made everybody happy.
How have you and your ex figured out your post-relationship relationship?
I think a lot of it has to do with putting your issues with your post-significant other aside and really turning and looking inward. God absolutely was the thing that helped me the most to be able to look at yourself and say, well, how did I contribute to this? And how can we make this work moving forward, especially because we have children and it's about them first. They didn't ask for this. We get along amazingly well. We're still very good friends.
Does the fact that you get along so well with your ex cause maybe problems in maybe a new relationship because you are tight with your ex, or is that working out too?
That's actually an interesting question, because he does have a new significant other who I haven't quite met yet, but I know she's a good person and I want him to be happy. So I hope in the future she isn't put off by how close we are, but I'm sure as with anything over time, the dynamic will change and you just have to go with the dynamic.
Melanie, I think you're setting a great example for your kids, because as they get older, they're going to look back and they're going to see how you put them first instead of yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's really going to help them in their future.
It's the number one priority for both of us. You know, we want them to grow up to realize their dad plays a role in their life. He gives them great things. I play a role in their life and I give them other things, and they need both.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And if you've been looking for a place to serve and you like to eat, I might have the perfect combination for you.
Oh, this sounds great.
Yeah, apparently there is a surplus this year of Girl Scout cookies. So you could be doing some good, living out your faith by helping the Girl Scouts out by purchasing a bunch of their cookies that they have in
surplus.
Well, I'm
here to serve.
Me too.
I've always called myself a servant.
You know what? You really are, Rock. I've seen you serve in this capacity before, and you're amazing. Apparently, the pandemic kind of hit everybody, and the Girl Scouts were no exception, because you noticed there weren't a lot of face-to-face Girl Scout cookie sales this year. As you'd walk to the grocery store, they're always there looking all cute and stuff, and then
trying to guilt you into more calories.
They're the worst. Like, and not no fault of their own, just my own worstness comes out. Like, I remember calling my wife, going, "Honey," because they did it at one of the stores I was at. I'm like, "Honey, the cute Girl Scouts are here," and it's like a tractor beam that's drawing me into their table. What do you want? I can't save myself. You know, and but anyway, they I guess they made like in excess of like 12 million boxes.
Wow.
And so they need to sell about 3 million of these bad boys in the next few months. And so they're asking people to check the Girl Scout website to see if they're still taking orders online.
See Gavin typing on his computer.
Gavin's some on there. Or what you could do if you want to be a really good person is they have a Hometown Heroes program and buy cookies for frontline workers and send them to them, because there is nothing like the Thin Mints. Real quick, favorite Girl Scout cookie, Betty Rock, go.
I don't have one.
Oh, you like them all?
Yes, okay. I like them all.
Gavin?
What's the name of the coconut shaving one?
Samoas?
Samoas, love those.
Yeah. Apparently you guys aren't quite as big a fan as me. I'm like, Thin Mints, no question, and refrigerated. Absolutely. So there you go. If you want to live out your faith and do some good today, help the Girl Scouts out and buy some cookies. Remember that old saying, what goes up must come down? Hey, it's Wally, and right now in the mortgage industry, things are a little different. It's more like what comes down must go up. While interest rates are still at some of the lowest points they've been in 100 years, they are starting to creep up a bit. Saving even 1 point over the life of your mortgage results in thousands of dollars in savings for you, and United Faith Mortgage can help make that happen. They are a faith-based family of mortgage professionals who can not only help you if you want to buy a house, but they can also show you all of your refinancing options. With interest rates where they are, you could refinance and lower your monthly payment, or if you have equity built up in your home, that could actually help you turn your current house into your dream home. And it costs you nothing to see how United Faith Mortgage can help you take advantage of this rare time in history. But putting off till tomorrow could actually cost you money if rates rise. United Faith Mortgage. Start online. Call anytime. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist Number 1330. Equal Housing Lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
If it's important to your family,
we have something very exciting to tell you that you have never heard before.
Then it matters to us on The Wally Show.
If you are planning to fly this summer for a trip, man, keep an eye on your app. Make sure that you give them your phone to text you changes. I've already had 4 or 5 changes to my flight. And it's like a yo-yo. It's going all over the place. And American Airlines canceled about 400 flights over the weekend. And theirs is due in part to staffing issues. It was ironic. One of the pilots for the Pilots Association said, "It's crazy. A year ago, we were flying around in nearly empty airplanes and canceling flights because we didn't have passengers. Now we're canceling flights because we don't have pilots."
Ooh, like, yeah, you got to have one of those.
Yeah, at least one.
And a standby, too.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess right now. And so there was this guy, I don't know, Scotch Cheap Flights. Have you guys heard of that?
I don't want any part of it if it has cheap in
it. No, it's not an airline. It's a guy that helps people figure out. Like flights.
Okay.
He's got his own plane.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Solution. I agree. My wife started following him. Other people have been following him. He's been on like ABC News and stuff, and he helps people find like cheaper deals on airfare, which is kind of cool. But he says, you don't have to take whatever the alternative flight is that they put you on. Because I've always assumed when they mess with your flight, then you just have to deal with it. But he's saying you actually don't have to do that. You can get a full refund. But you do need to check the policies of each airline because it is different. For example, if American cancels its flight, it'll give you a full refund if it's more than 4 hours. The new flight they book you on is more than 4 hours from the original. Mm. So that's their parameters. JetBlue's policy is 2 hours from the original. United said if the new flight options don't work or it's a change significantly, that's very vague, they will give you a full refund. So maybe that actually could work in your benefit where it doesn't work for you. And Delta said, go fly someone else. Delta said if they can't find an alternate flight or choose to cancel the itinerary, they will refund you as well. So it's just something to be aware of as you're making plans for possibly flying with your family for this summer, that your airline travel could be a source of frustration. So pack a little extra patience. It's going to be the rule for that.
And now for some good news.
Yeehaw! Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show, and we are doing a little good news giddy up because the news can be a little heavy, and so we like to lighten it up a little bit from time to time. So three rapid-fire good news stories for you today. Good news giddy up, Gavin, go.
A family in England just got their dog back, and, you know, usually that's a really good story, but this dog was gone for 11 years.
Wow, that's like how would you even recognize it? Like, it's a puppy and it comes back like an old dog.
Exactly. Someone found it on the street and they actually scanned the microchip. Its name came up as Crumpet. Oh. And they still don't actually know if it ran off or it got stolen, but they were reunited with Crumpet.
Nice.
But that's a new dog altogether. So that's amazing.
In 11 years, that's
crazy.
But
then he comes back and sees he's been replaced by another dog.
Yeah.
That's awkward.
Drama. Betty Rock, good news, giddy up, go.
You all know the dating app Bumble. Well, they have 700 employees worldwide. And I guess they've had a very stressful year because everyone is using these dating sites. So the company gave all 700 of them the week off fully paid.
Oh, that's nice.
Fully paid.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Betty's like, hint, hint. I
wouldn't be against it.
I'm sure somebody had to work. And those of you were like, hey, you're single.
Oh, yeah, like
some
customer support people. But then once the regular employees get back, then the customer support people will be able to have the week off as well.
Even it up. Good news, giddy up. There you go. And finally, there's an 8-year-old in Massachusetts who's been fighting cancer, brain cancer, too, which is horrible. But he loves Aquaman in the movie.
Oh,
so
nice.
Last year, he got a FaceTime call with Jason Momoa, who played Aquaman. And last week, his town unveiled a new mural of the both of them dressed as Aquaman.
Oh, cool.
Super cool on the side of a building and stuff. So it's awesome. And the better news in this good news thing is the first time I read this story, like, I'm dyslexic, so I have trouble reading things. The first time I read mural, I read it as urinal. And so I was
just
so happy.
There's a big difference.
Yeah, totally big difference. This was a much better plan the state came, or the city came up with. So good news. There you go.
It's today's Music Insider with Gavin.
TMI, my friends.
Our favorite parody songwriter, Matthew West, is back at it again. He sung about dead dogs for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
He's done like a graduation song, and his latest single, you could call it, is called Modest is Hottest.
His latest boredom experiment at home. Like, because I saw the video for this, and it's him and his two daughters who are just, they're so sweet, and his wife, and
they're
just goofing around in the house.
They're just dancing, having fun. And so this song is basically a plea to his daughters to consider the kind of clothes that they're going to be wearing.
Dear daughter, it's me, your father. I think it's time we had a talk. The boys are coming around cause you're beautiful, and it's all your mother's fault. And I've been trying hard to raise you upright. No drinking, no smoking, no swearing. But your old man's got a little more advice when it comes to the clothes that you're wearing.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, as a girl dad, that's something you got to think about, you know? Sure. And it's like, I get it, but modesty's not a bad thing.
But it sounds, and I'm coming from like teenagers' thought process, it sounds lame.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he's got to make it seem cool
To
do such a thing.
I don't know if the choice of clothes that he's asking them to wear, though, does make it cool for them.
Modest is hottest. The latest fashion trend is a little more Amish, a little less Kardashian. What the boys really love is a turtleneck and a sensible pair of slacks. Honey, modest is hottest.
A sensible pair of slacks. Yeah. Absolutely. That is
khakis
definitely
and a turtleneck. I don't think any teenage girl out there is going to be like, oh my goodness, yes, dad, thank you for telling me to wear those dad clothes, basically.
And in the video, they're all like wearing these black turtlenecks and dancing around. It's really good. Cute.
It's so funny.
I love Matthew's sense of humor and how well he does, you know, turning everything and life stuff into songs. And it might be a fun thing. You can use this as like a fun thing to play for your kid. Especially if you're a dad of a daughter, and use it as a funny way to enter into a serious, real conversation about, hey, this is not how we want you to present yourself, you know, because it says a lot about you and things. It might say things you don't want it to say, kind of thing.
Yeah, so, and then give them the present with a turtleneck and cap.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Cap it off. Good job. That's going to do it for your TMI. Thank you, Gavin. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and it's time for you to win a prize here with our strikeout game. The way this works is I have a top 10 list. The gang is going to see how many answers they can steal from you off of this list, and they get to go until they get a strike and they are out. So, the category for today is things you should not have in your home once you are over 30. Now, Betty Rock is over 30. Gavin is not. I'm curious if he has any clue stylistically what he should or should not have in his home. And so once they strike out and steal a few of these answers, then you'll get a chance to play. And you're hoping that they won't take too many of your good answers. So Betty Rock, over 30, what should you not have in your home anymore?
This is, it's so hard because I do have two on my mind.
And you have questionable taste as it is.
I will give you that.
Thank you.
Yes, I definitely do. I'm going to say, but if this is true, then I've already failed. Stuffed animal?
Oh. Stuffed animals. Over 30 years old. Should you have a stuffed animal in your house? The answer is...
Oh.
Yes!
Well
you
done.
Should not have them.
But I do.
But you do.
And his name is Cecil.
Oh, your moose.
Yes.
Yeah, Cecil the moose. Okay, so that is one gone off the list. See, they've already taken an answer from you. Stuffed animals on your bed or anywhere else in the house unless you have kids. If you have kids, it's okay.
Okay.
But yeah, you need to get rid of Cecil.
Gavin.
Take him to Goodwill.
I'm thinking in the line of... My line of thinking is stuff that would like hurt you because you're getting old. So I actually went with like... A skateboard.
Okay.
I don't know if I can
good
answer.
Come on.
Good
answer.
No, that's a bad answer. You can already tell by his goofy grin
know,
on his face, Gavin, that it's wrong.
But it just becomes more dangerous when your bones become more brittle.
Take it back.
Too late. It's already out there.
No, you're supposed to say, like, I don't know. Like,
what
I was,
else?
I was going to say, like, cartoon bed sheets.
Oh,
okay. You know, like Charlie Brown or Snoopy or Scooby-Doo or something. Not that I'm speaking from experience, but I'm just saying that. But it was still Gavin's fault.
Lost
the game.
Be very clear about that. Yeah, so cartoon betting did not make it. But that wasn't too far off of one, though. I will give you credit for that. So, all right. 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. If you want to play along and you think you can come up with, you got nine other answers to go for here because they only got one on this list of the things you should not have in your home once you're over 30. You can play with us right now. 855-33-WAY-FM. So what do you think you should not have in your home over 30?
If I had to guess, my first guess would be futons. I hate futons.
Yeah. I think we've all had a futon at one point in time in your life in your 20s.
Those are the things that are like made to look like a couch, but then you can fold them out and they look like a bed.
Yeah, like temporary furniture at all is just like no.
Yeah, yeah. No. You're really honing in on it here.
How about an old mattress?
An old mattress actually did make the list.
Woo! Oh, wow.
Number five answer. They said a super old mattress, something over 10 years. Because you're supposed to replace those every 8 to 10 years.
Yeah, but definitely. Who really does that?
I had one for 20.
Oh, yeah. I've had one. I've got one now, but the one I had before, I don't even want to tell you how long I had it. It's kind of gross.
I watched an episode once about dirty mattresses, and they said that 5% of the weight, or 5 pounds at least, is dead skin cells.
Yep, that was advertising. I know. A couple other things that made this list that you should not have. You look around your house, Lindy, and make sure that you don't have any of these things. Old trophies, let your mom display them, as they say.
Yeah.
Dream catchers, those weird things that people hang from their rearview mirrors and stuff, too. Paper floor lamps.
Posters,
or
black lights.
Inflatable furniture.
Oh, yeah, that definitely went out.
99, didn't it?
Right? I think a general rule of thumb is anything you can buy at Spencer's or Claire's in the mall, you should not have in your home over 30. Well, Lindy, I got you down, and you're a big winner today, girl. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Y'all have a blessed day.
Working for a living, living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and one of the things we have in common is we all got to go to work.
Yay.
Get our jobs done. And some workplaces are a little better than others. There was a company that installed cameras for face recognition in their place of work, which isn't too uncommon, you know, for checking in and out and things like that. But what's interesting is this company made it so that employees, the image that they capture for you that represents you to recognize you has to be smiling. So the AI, the artificial intelligence, if you walk through frowning, it won't recognize you and it won't open the door. So if you look at the camera and smile, it will open the door.
I don't like that, because what if you're having a bad morning? Like you spilled your coffee or your dog just passed?
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to just smile?
Yeah. Going to turn that frown upside down. Going to fake it till you make it.
No.
Is really what it is. Like, you know, at first I thought that is like super overreaching and over controlling. Like just so I can get through a door to get to work. But then I thought, you know what? Sometimes again, if you smile and then you find yourself in I got to go to another meeting. Smile. You know. It could actually work in your favor.
I'm going to tell you to start doing this when you're in a bad mood. I'll say, just smile, turn that frown upside down.
Then I'll just get angrier. Yeah, maybe it won't work. I don't know. But it did make me start to think of, like, what is that thing at work that does generally make you smile? And it can be something silly and dumb. Like, whenever free pizza shows up to work, Betty Rock and Gavin, maybe probably more Betty Rock, loses her mind.
Uh-huh.
She becomes like a puppy that hasn't seen a dog.
Free food
like,
in general.
It's human. In weeks. The pizza's here. The pizza's almost here. And nothing is right until she is face down in a pepperoni pizza.
But at least I'm easy to please.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it makes it so easy. And so that's what makes her smile. So what is that thing at work that just makes you smile? 855-33. And honestly, the dumber, the better.
Yes.
855-33-WAY-FM. What is something, Susan, at your work that genuinely makes you smile?
It's our mailman.
Really? Yeah. So it's a person that does their job and does it well?
Yes, it is. But ever since COVID hit and there was no one at the office, our office dropped from 100 people down to 6 that were actually in the building. And so we're just desperate to see anyone, really. But he's also super friendly and very, very good at his job. And so it's just like he rings the bell and we're like, he's here.
Oh, that's so funny. It is amazing the effect that one person can have on the building. Like, I want to try a little experiment here. Betty Rock, I want you to think of the person here at the station who is kind and just makes you smile. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to count to 3 and we'll say that person's name. You ready? 1, 2, 3.
Ruth.
Oh, look, see? Look at that. Like, she's just a positive influence, and she's always doing the things that are, like, unsung around here that make our lives better.
And always has a smile on her face.
Absolutely. And I just think it's really cool that we're talking about the thing that puts a smile on our face is not a thing or free pizza. It's actually a person. Although I think Betty would trade Ruth for free pizza. Look, I'm fully aware of how much COVID has messed with our lives this past year. Many of us, for the first time in our lives, have felt trapped, stuck, or even helpless. Now imagine that not just being a year, but a life or a generation of being stuck. That's what happens to kids caught in the cycle of poverty. They are truly stuck. But there is good news. This doesn't have to be their story.
And that's where you come in. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to be a hero today, but you can. For $38 a month, just about a dollar a day, you can make sure a child living in poverty gets the things they need not only to survive, but to thrive.
You provide your sponsored child food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. And here's what I love about partnering with Food for the Hungry. Your gift also helps other kids in the community. So you're not just helping one child, but you're also helping their friends a little as well, because FH wants to build up the entire community.
The other really important part is you get to write to your child and encourage them. This is your faith in action, and your support and the words you share with them will carry and inspire them to accomplish more than they even dreamed possible for themselves.
With everything going on, I know it's easy just to take care of ourselves and put this off till tomorrow, but kids living in poverty, tomorrow feels like an eternity. Plus, I'm telling you that sponsoring one of our Food for the Hungry kids will not only help them, but it will also change you. There is such joy in helping innocent kids who didn't ask for or do anything to deserve this. And we've been blessed with so much in our lives. It's a blessing to be able to sponsor these amazing kids.
It only takes a minute and costs you nothing to see if this is even for you. So check it out, fh.org/Wally Show. Again, that's fh.org/Wally Show. You can also follow FH on Instagram and Twitter.
These are the least important stories out of Hollywood, but nonetheless entertaining. Here's Betty Rock with the least of these.
Everyone has their own path to success, and sometimes that involves getting an education, a college education. But if you're already famous, anyone would understand just living off the wealth you've acquired.
Yeah, that's what Betty Rock could have done, but she decided not to. She went back
to school. Live off the wealth I've acquired.
Yeah, but she went back to school, Colorado Christian University, and lived out a dream.
I mean, I did do that, but the wealth part hasn't come yet.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you're kind of money.
Thank you. But that's not the case for this list of celebrities who went back to school even after they made it big in Hollywood.
Okay.
So did you know that Emma Watson, you know her from Harry Potter, correct?
Yep.
She went to Brown University and got her English literature degree.
Good for her.
After she made it big with Harry Potter.
Good for her.
Nice. Sure, she didn't have any student debt. Then Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
He got his doctorate in education from Barry University.
Oh. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? And you call yourself a sports guy, Gavin.
That's teaching. That's
even
not sports.
Even I knew that.
And then America Ferrera?
Yeah.
She got a degree in international relations.
Did she really? Because she was Ugly Betty at first.
That's rude.
No. That's the name of the show. And then, I'm sorry, I just happened to be looking at you because I'm conversing with you, but I wasn't saying that to you. And then she went on to be on Superstore.
I never watched that show.
Do you guys remember Mayim Bialik from... Blossom, and then what's it, the nerd show? Come on, help me.
Oh, Big Bang Theory?
Big Bang Theory, yes.
The
girl.
Yes.
The nerdy girl.
Yeah, she
has... the cat cafe show?
That was another show. Yeah, but she has like a degree like in astrophysics. Oh,
she is actually
like
very smart.
Yeah. So that's cool. I like that. So look at that. Rock, you're in such good company as another celebrity that has gone back after you became famous. And I wonder if CCU will do a statue of you at Colorado Christian University somewhere
they
in the
really
middle. They really should. That'd be
maybe
awesome.
Maybe I should like take some pictures, strike poses that I think that
and
they
go,
should.
Hey, would this look good in a statue form? You know, and just send it to them. That's a good idea. And it's never, again, this is a good explanation of how, or a good example of how it's never too late to go back to school and accomplish what you want to do. Yeah, and you got 2 degrees and did really well.
And it was all online.
There you go. Made it easy. Colorado Christian University. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and around my house we're doing some upgrades of the house, getting some painting done, doing the cabinets and things like that, and my wife is getting to do the house exactly like she wants to do the house, and I don't have a ton of say in it, but I think she questions my taste.
And rightly so.
Yeah,
I feel like if it was up to you, it'd be like a, you know, based off of like rock music or something, hair band type stuff.
I'd make it pretty dope. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know about that.
But you know what? Your home is your castle, so you should make it what you want it
to be. True. And the woman should lead into that.
Yeah.
So there is a 31-year-old woman. Her name is Taylor, and she loves McDonald's so much that she based or themed her home around McDonald's memorabilia.
I get that.
I mean, to the point that she's painted her walls like bright red.
Oh,
the
my
border
goodness.
Is yellow. She's got a stained glass window of Ronald McDonald, which is a little creepy.
Yeah.
She's even got, do you remember, Gavin probably doesn't, but Wally, do you remember like the benches that used to be out front Ronald McDonald sat on the bench and he was like
creepy.
Yeah. Well, she's got one of them.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. See, I get that. My wife has a room that she has done up for Disney stuff because she loves Disney so much and collects all these animation cells, and so like I get it. Doing the whole house would be a lot, I think.
Disney,
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, of anything.
Oh,
like
of anything.
Like if you were to redo yours, Rock, what would it be?
I would choose Bob Ross.
Now, Bob Ross the painter?
Yes, like the whole theme is all
so
Bob
today,
Ross.
Let's have a happy accident and see what we can make out of it.
Yeah.
It'd be so chill.
So hear me out. I think like if you had pillows that looked like afros, like brown afros.
I like where you're going.
Okay, and then there could be like squirrels just everywhere, kind of like Peapod, the pocket squirrel that he had. Mm-hmm. A lot of woodland creatures,
a lot of trees.
There could be like a wall that's all a painting of his.
Nice. A giant mural on your wall of Bob Ross would be so soothing.
See?
I would like that. I actually don't hate that at all.
I could have this music playing on a loudspeaker 24/7.
Yeah. Your house would be the calmest house in the neighborhood.
It's just a chill place.
Yeah, I like it. I don't have a problem with that at all. So what is yours? If you could re-theme your house into anything that maybe even your spouse would hate, but it doesn't matter. It's your thing. What would you theme your house as? 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now. 855-33-WAY-FM. What would yours be?
So I would do mine centered around makeup.
Okay, so now you always loved makeup. Is it a passion for you?
Yes, and you could have like your couch could look like an eyeshadow palette. You could have like lipstick, like different color lipsticks as like your bar stools in your kitchen. Everything would be real colorful and bright and glittery. It would just be fantastic.
Your curtains could look like fake eyelashes. Like, this is great.
Yes, that would be awesome, right?
Hey, real quick, are you married by any chance?
I am,
I feel the need to apologize to your husband for encouraging this because you got like super excited and I know you're going to go home today and go, honey, I got the best idea and we're doing this.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't go for that.
Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and I just realized Gavin has a great opportunity here. We're talking about what we would theme our houses like if we could, because there's a lady who themed hers after McDonald's. She's a huge fan, has all this memorabilia, which I respect. I think that's cool when you're really passionate about something. But Gavin just moved into a new place, like a new house rental the other day, and now it's a blank canvas, Gavin.
That's true.
The only thing that could keep you from doing whatever you want is your wife.
Exactly. And that's going to keep me from going after the stream. But she actually might like the theme that I have in mind. I actually would love a Cracker Barrel themed house because you've got the massive fire place.
I like
so that's
going.
A warm
checkers,
place for the
a
winter.
Checkerboard.
A checkerboard, which we actually do plan on getting one of those boards. Right. So that's going to be awesome. I want the candy section as well. I need that.
Rocking chairs.
But also, too, I would like to keep in mind that Cracker Barrel has like random saws and like pickaxes.
Exactly. It's all unique. And maybe we would bring in our own
easy
saws
to decorate.
And, exactly.
Like easy to decorate.
Random.
Anything you have, just stick it on a wall, literally, and you have a Cracker Barrel house.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, that's not bad. I was thinking of a Chuck E. Cheese themed house. Like, how great. Look how excited
that
Gavin
got.
That
would be awesome.
That would be so. Yeah, hear me out. I know
games
on the
everywhere.
Pizza anytime you want it, without a doubt. Like, and then there's games. And, like, what if you made it so that, like, your microwave wouldn't work unless you won so many tickets? So every day you had to basically pay, play to feed yourself?
Yeah, but you're living with a creepy mouse.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen. But I probably got mice anyway.
It's a weird pet.
And at least this one could talk to me and keep me company.
No,
I probably wouldn't want that either, come to think of it.
Scoop, scoop-a-doop, scoop-a-doop, scoop-a-doop-a-doop-a-scoop.
Way FM, this is The Wally Show, your uplifting Way FM. And so we try to help you out with your life from time to time. Little thing called The Scoop, where we want to help make your life a little better. And Betty Rock, what do you have the scoop on today?
I think we've all been there where we have a recipe and it calls for, you know, soft butter.
Sure.
And you can't have soft butter if it's been sitting in the fridge.
If you didn't plan ahead to leave it on the counter.
Yep.
And
yep.
You don't want to just put it in the microwave
because it'll melt
from the inside out,
then
too.
Then it's not soft anymore.
Right.
It's just liquefied.
Armpit.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, put butter under the armpit.
Yes, put butter.
No.
Is that your scoop?
No, that's not it.
Betty
no.
Rock scoop. If
no,
you need soft butter,
nope.
Armpit it.
Nope, that's not what I said. Okay, right. So the more cleaner idea is get a cheese grater and grate the cheese.
Okay.
So you have a stick of butter, grate it.
Really?
And then that'll help it soften quicker.
Small pieces that melt faster.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to like liquefy it in the microwave.
Oh, okay. And then that way it doesn't have to actually just be not cold either, like because the smaller pieces were. That's a really good scoop.
Yeah.
See? And
I
you
like
don't
that.
Have to put it under your armpit.
And if you don't have a cheese grater, armpit it! There you go. There's your scoop for today, and I hope you take one of those pieces of advice if you're making something tonight for dinner.
Well, the podcast is over, but there's still the aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.